Welcome in to the Big Red Zone Podcast, live from my car. I'm one of your hosts, Max.
I'm one of your other hosts, Brad.
And I'm your other host, Rowan.
And we're currently in transit, and we thought, why not pop on the pot and give a couple takes?
Where are we coming from, Rowan?
We are coming out from Hartwick on the Cape.
Close enough. Harwich, but you know, that's fine.
Right, yeah. Next to Chatham.
Yeah, give me a couple of your takes about Cape Cod while we're on the subject.
Lots of moto built guys. Like every dude there beyond the age of 50 is just built like moto from Madagascar.
Yeah. My takeaway, Great Lakes. They've got, and don't not to be confused with the Great Lakes, but the lake scene might be better than the beach scene, which is probably a very hot take to some of you listeners out there.
My personal take is just lakes greater sign oceans. I know the ocean community would be mad at that, but lakes are just much more peaceful.
You know, speaking of lakes, our credibility as a podcast has gone up significantly, seeing as the three of us got some one-on-one time with a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, we met a guy at said lake that's a descendant of one of our great NFL Hall of Fame players. We will we'll omit the name for credibility's sake, but yeah.
For privacy purposes.
Yeah, he was a smart guy. Talked about some football. It was great.
So, are you guys excited for this football season? Because I was telling Roey and Max that I don't know that I've been this excited for football season in a long while.
We just started watching Squid Games with Max.
That's a lot more relevant than the upcoming NFL season to listeners of this podcast.
What are some of your early in the show Squid Games takes?
Dude, I can give my takes, but I think
having
all of my,
been 3 years late to the party.
Way too late. Either everyone in the audience has watched it, or we don't have anyone in the audience. So I don't know that it's relevant. But yeah, I think the main character probably
drop
wins.
Us a comment on Instagram if you've watched Squid Games. Sorry, Max, go ahead.
Please do. I think the main character wins, and then I think he falls back to his gambling problem. Because gambling is an addiction. And if you suffer from gambling, please reach out to the DraftKings hotlines that are available in their terms of service. Me, myself, it's not a problem because I always win.
And if you do want gambling, insight, please also leave a comment on our Instagram page. And yeah, Max will throw you a recommendation.
We're thinking of developing a gambling-only spin-off pod. So keep an eye out for that. Let us know if that's in demand, where I'll be dropping my hottest parlays for the upcoming NFL season. Speaking of the upcoming NFL season,
are we ready to talk about it?
Nope. Yeah. Brad, why are you so excited? Give us the rundown.
I just really think that the quality of games this year is going to be better than it has in previous years. Now, when I say quality of the games, I guess what I'm really getting is that quality of the matchups. I just think that they, there are a few teams who are not going to be great, but I feel like it's a lower number than there usually is. And I know this is, like, pre-season hype, like, everybody's kind of looking good. But I don't know. I just think that there are a lot of really great teams who I think are capable of making a deep run in the postseason.
Yeah, I agree.
Super insightful analysis,
yeah,
right?
Thanks for really sharing your opinion.
That's the pod. Thanks everyone for listening.
No, I wanted to bring up a topic, but Brad brought one up, so now we just got to riff on it a little bit. So I don't know, but I don't really know what to add to it. So that's my thought process.
All right, Roy, what's your topic?
All right, the topic that I wanted to bring up is the new kickoff format. Like, what do we think of the new kickoff format?
I agree.
All right, what was the topic you wanted to bring up, Max?
No, I'm pretty excited for it. It seems like it's had a good amount of success in the XFL. I don't know.
You watch the XFL?
I watch every snap of the XFL. follow for our XFL spinoff podcast coming soon.
Lots of spinoff podcasts coming
your way. The BRZ podcast universe. But it seems like it's added a lot of excitement to start of games. I think that apparently a lot of, like, the stars will be returning kicks now. Like, players like Saquon and Tyreek, like, now have incentive maybe to hop on the kickoff. And then we might see players, like, now, like, kick return specialists, right? I feel like that's a position that has almost gotten a little bit extinct. Like, there still are people who mainly return kicks, but the days of, like, Devin Hester-type players are gone. And I think now that we might see a bit of a comeback there. So I'm interested to see how coaches like Mike McDaniel, like, really good offensive minds, like, manipulated for their game.
It's a good point. I mean, I think it's interesting. I really do. Because you're talking about a type of play that nobody in the league has ever really done. I mean, it wasn't like they did this type of kickoff rules in college, and they just haven't done it since they've been in the NFL. I mean, it's really going to be new for everyone. And I'm going to be interested to see, as a completely new open play field, which strategies tend to surface as most common and how teams sort of manipulate it. I'm predicting, though, that it's going to be a bit too explosive. Because I will be honest, I am not going to love games if more and more teams are, like, starting at, like, the 50-yard line. You know what I mean? Between, like, the 40 and the 50. I think that, like, part of getting to witness great offenses is, like, seeing how they do when they start at the 25 or, like, the 30. Not when they're starting from near midfield and only need, like, 20-ish, 20, 30 yards to get in a field goal.
Well, I think that apparently the, like, average, once again, going back to the XFL, I think the average starting position was, like, the 32. Or something for offenses, which is, like, a pretty big deal. That's, like, an extra 7 yards, right, of starting position. It's, like, a pretty big deal for an offensive perspective, but I think not enough of a deal that it, like, ruins the viewership experience. I think it can really only be a good thing, more or less. But I see your point. Like, if every kickoff is, like, you're starting at the 50, that basically gets rid of, like, half of the football that's actually being played.
That was completely being, you know, tossed out there. Like, I don't have any data that says that.
Yeah, because you just didn't have, watch, like, every snap of the XFL.
I did not. I just have the image in my brain of people like Tyreek Hill and Saquon Barkley just, like, being an absolute monster.
Yeah.
And it resulting in 40 to 50 yard starting positions.
All right. I'm going to bring up my topic now.
Well, hang on. I want to hear what Roey thinks about the topic that he brought up. Well, I already want to bring up a new topic.
Oh, my God.
Roey, talk about the kickoffs, Doug.
All right. I will be honest, I kind of forgot what the new format is. I just remembered that there is a new format. So with that being said, I'm very excited for the new format.
Simply to remember what it is.
Yeah. I'm excited to look on Google after I get home from the car ride to find out what it is again. But overall, I'm as excited as you guys about it.
All right, my turn. And then maybe we can go back to Rope.
Yeah, please do. Because I will just agree to whatever you have to say.
This is a question, an open question posed to the pod. Yeah. So you either participate or abstain. I think something I'm excited for is this year's draft was, like, super deep offensively. It was, like, 15 or something players, like, offensive players went off the board before any defensive player was taken. Like, super playmaker focused. Oh, I want to pose a question about which rookie do you think will have, like, an impact above expectation? Like, I think all of the super top
Michael
picks.
Michael Penix.
Damn. Do you think he plays?
No. I was damn. Being
I have a thought.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the Chicago flag that we just passed.
Yeah. The audience cannot see that. Yeah. But it's okay.
Follow our Instagram page to learn more.
Yeah.
And stay tuned for our spinoff flag podcast.
Yeah. My piggyback off of that is Among Us. We have a published article writer about predicting rookie offensive playmaker success in the NFL based on college. So I think nobody in the world is better and better poised to answer this question outside of Bradley Stoddard. Bradley, do you want to give a little pitch for your article, but also answer the question?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for the compliments. Right?
Yeah.
Very kind of you. I did end up publishing an article that you can find online called Machine Learning and What It Means for Data Science. So machine learning, colon, data science,
honestly,
best
let,
example
let,
of a
let,
class.
Let's put the link in the bio.
We will put
yeah,
the
we'll
link,
put
in,
the link
bio.
In the bio.
And leave a comment if you are going to go to the link in the bio.
But, no, I did a little project predicting, it was NFL wide receiver success
yeah.
specifically, so
yeah.
it wasn't all rookie. But in terms of wide receiver success, what I found is ESPN's wide receiver pre-draft rankings are very accurate as to how people are going to perform.
Yeah,
so, in terms of, like, we can see who ESPN has sort of ranked highly here, and see what that will say. So why don't one of you continue talking while I pull that up?
Sounds good. But I will say that our success rate in predicting rookie success was not included in this study and compared against ESPN. And I bet with a lot of people we called successful, from Josh Uche to Denzel Perryman, we honestly probably rank up there with ESPN. But Max, to answer your original question.
Yeah, seems like my original question has been forgotten, but thank you for participating.
About who is going to be the most impactful rookie? The most obvious answer is Caleb Williams, in my opinion. I'm very interested to see how he does in the preseason, which now is just a few weeks away. I think that the Hall of Fame game, commemorating Hall of Famers like the dad of the guy on the beach we met today is only 2 weeks away, and Eberflus said he's targeting 45 to 55 preseason snaps for Caleb Williams. So I think right away, even as early as the preseason, I think Caleb Williams is going to be front and center. And as a future Chicagoan, Brad, what do you have to say about Caleb Williams, who, in my opinion, is going to be the most impactful offensive rookie storyline in the NFL?
I'm very excited about it. I mean, I really hope that Caleb Williams either has a really, really great season or has
Oh,
a
by
really
the way, I don't know what's
experience.
Going on, but our, like, pod is kaputz.
It's all good.
Oh, no.
It is all good.
It was all good.
Oh, really? Was it all good?
Roey was just trying to end the pod a bit early. But
Damn.
Worry not. You know, we've got it under control. But no, I'm very much looking forward to seeing Caleb Williams. As a Caleb Williams, you know, side conversation piece, turns out after Marvin Harrison Jr., whom ESPN thinks will be the best wide receiver, Rome Odunze will be the supposedly the second best wide receiver in the draft class, ahead of Malik Nabers.
Ahead of Ladd McConkey,
believe That's it or not.
I don't know. I'm not that big on Odunze. I feel like he's a little bit overhyped, like a little bit slow, a little bit of a contested catch guy. And NFL players are just a bit bigger. I don't know. Also, he's like the third string.
I feel like we
won't see him at full potential for a couple years.
Are you saying my article is not accurate?
I'm saying no. I mean, I think he'll have a good career. I just think it's tough. Like, he's going to be behind Keenan and DJ Moore for a couple years. So he'll probably be a great third receiver. Don't get me wrong. But I think actually, Ro, the name you brought up is very interesting. I'm like very interested to see how like the back of the first, top of the second guys do. Yeah, specifically, I think the names I'm thinking of are Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Xavier Worthy, and Xavier Leggett. I think that foursome is like very, very interesting to me, and probably not the sexiest names to talk about. I think all.
What about Adonai Mitchell?
Nah, Adonai Mitchell. I think the thing with those guys is like they go into teams where like there's very clearly a big hole. Like, Ladd McConkey, instantly probably wide receiver 1, depending on your Quenston Johnston opinions. Xavier Worthy, depending on Rashi Rice's suspension status, also could be in line for the receiver one workload.
What about somebody else is there? The Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, like, potentially. I think Hollywood's a little bit washed. Like, I don't think he's had a good season in a couple years. And he's, like, very much there on a proven deal. My point isn't, like, all these guys will go into the teams and be the top receiver. I think they just go into a place with a ton of opportunity. Keon Coleman especially. Like, they lost their entire wide receiver. So I think all those guys, whether they sink or float, like, they have the potential to make their team season or break their team season. So I'm just very much looking forward. You can also throw a guy like Jalen Polk in there, but I think the other guys, they're all playing for teams with bigger expectations.
Yeah, let's not Patriots
except for Xavier Leggett.
Let's not be biased Pats fans.
I'm saying you could throw him in as like in that grouping, but I wouldn't, just because the Pats are pretty boring this year.
If anything, I'm more excited for Javon Baker on the Pats.
What does that ESPN's article list say about him?
I did not go that far down the list.
All right, so let's say he will not have a very good career.
But according to him, he has said some pretty interesting quotes that I implore you to go read for yourself.
All right, Roy, what was your next topic of discussion?
My next topic is among the QBs that were drafted in the first round, who is the biggest bust and who is the biggest success out of the first round quarterbacks?
Penix, Nix, Daniels, McCarthy, Williams, and May.
That is correct.
Those six guys.
I think, and this is not like a really hot take per se, but I don't think McCarthy is going to be that great. I think that it's more likely that he is a solid backup quarterback type of archetype than he is a, you know, I mean, I guess it's obviously more likely that he's that than like a Pro Bowl quarterback, but I just see him being more of like a what's the name of the Pats? Jacoby Brissett type player. I don't know that he's going to be that fantastic.
Yeah, I agree with that take. I think one thing that comes to mind, especially since we got somebody of Russian descent in the car, is McCarthyism, which could be associated with the Red Scare. And I just think that J.J. McCarthy is going to have a hard time transitioning into the league. And I think he's going to be seeing red. I think people are going to be on his
ass. Speaking of seeing stuff, he's currently second string to a quarterback that's been known to see ghosts in his past.
That is true. And I just think he's going to have a hard time adjusting to the NFL, which is just a lot faster game. And the types of plays that he's able to get away with in Michigan just aren't going to cut it for a Vikings team that desperately needs a playmaker, because they just simply can't win games without like flashy style of play. So,
I mean, all I'm saying is that like I feel like Michigan ran a lot, which aligns with Harbaugh's style of play, which is a big smash mouth team. And I think that like, you know, if you look at some of those like incredible wins in Minnesota, like the end of game catch by Justin Jefferson. Honestly, a lot of the catches by Justin Jefferson, they were just great balls. Great, great balls. And I'm just not sure that he has the arm to do that.
Yeah, I think the thing with JJ is, like, I don't know that we've seen his full potential. I think they drafted him based on potential. Because you look at some of the other, like, first-rounder, Penix and Daniels and Nix are all, like, super old. They've been in college for 5 years. And JJ, I think, came out, like, after 3 years. And maybe 2 years of starting under his belt. I don't know if he started as a freshman, but I think the thing with him is like he's got a pretty big arm. It's just we haven't seen him use it. I agree with you that I think he's probably the most likely to bust. As a slightly more out there take, I think that Jaden Daniels isn't necessarily set up for success in Washington, and I don't know that he can mask the deficiencies of that franchise. I think Washington is just the team that's been cursed. I don't think they have very good pieces around him.
Respectfully, I'm not super buying that. Let me be clear. I'm buying the take that Jaden Daniels won't be able to succeed because he's not set up for success. But I just think when you look at, like, what the Bears did and, like, the environment that they were able to bring Caleb into, right? Like, I do think it's possible to bring the quarterback into, like, a good environment, right? I just think you got to do it in reverse. I mean, you got to build around and then draft the quarterback rather than draft the quarterback and then deal with, like, the building around him.
Yeah, that's my point. The rest of their team is trash. Like, so Caleb's a lot more set up for success because the infrastructure around him already exists, and they, like, built up their defense last year, and they got him weapons. Whereas Washington, like, their defense has fallen apart after they've traded a bunch of their, like, defensive line mainstays. They have a new coach in Dan Quinn who, like, is not a sexy hire, like, not this kind of offensive-minded guy. His offensive coordinator is Cliff Kingsbury, for God's sake, who we, like, flamed out in Arizona so hard. Like, he's got a couple of receivers of, like...
He's not that bad.
He was pretty bad. He's got Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, who maybe could be good, but also have been, like, there for a couple of years and haven't done anything. I don't know. I just don't trust Washington to set up Jaden Daniels for success, and I think Jaden Daniels as, like, a quarterback built, like, is just very risk-prone, like, very injury-prone, like, reckless style of play where he kind of runs into tackles. Like, I just think his body could collapse, and I think the franchise isn't good, and I think that just kind of melds itself into a negative storm.
Yeah. I mean, having had Terry McLaurin on my fantasy team the last two seasons can confirm that he's not great.
Roy, what's your Jaden Daniels take?
I think Jaden Daniels is going to be the most unsuccessful rookie in this class in terms of the quarterbacks. I just think it's going to be unsuccessful play, an injury that he's probably going to be happy to just take him out of the spotlight, and then another year or two of unsuccessful play before he gets a backup job somewhere else and gets replaced. Like, I think that outside of a couple flashy plays, he will have a largely unsuccessful career with the Washington Commanders. And speaking of another quarterback who had an unsuccessful first stint on their first team, Justin Fields, a guy with a similar build and similar style of play, also came from a big school, was recently put on the Yinsburg Steelers, home to our one and only Yins. And he is now competing for the first string quarterback position with Russ, who will probably start the season as the starter.
Yeah, Russ is starting.
Do we think that Justin Fields takes starting snaps at some point this season? And
for
if
sure.
So,
yeah, for sure.
What week are we predicting it is? And what would need to happen for that to happen?
To be honest, I think that Steelers fans are pretty impatient right now. And I don't blame them. I'm just like, and I'm not saying that, like, they're uniquely impatient. I'm just saying that, like, for the last couple years, the Steelers haven't been bad, but they haven't been great either. I mean, the couple years, I think last year, the year before, like, they were, like, in the playoff contention, but they weren't really a team that was, like,
bro, Mason
going
Rudolph
to,
took them to the playoffs last year. Respect on his name.
They weren't really a team that, like, Steelers fans had any actual hope for, you know, making waves in the playoffs. And I think that it's not going to take a lot. I think that if the Steelers are 500 or lower, I think that they're going to be itching for Russ to take a back seat.
I think that, I'll put it this way, I think it's Russ's job to lose. Like, I think he has the inner track to be the starter, and I think as long as he's winning, like, Fields isn't seeing the field, like, till week 17 if they've already clinched a playoff spot. But I think that's a big if. Like, I think the Steelers have retooled their roster. Like, they retooled their O-line in the draft, and they added a couple defensive pieces. But if you look at their offensive guys, it's, like, not really good personnel. They have George Pickens and, like, a rookie in the receiver corps, and that's it. So I think their identity is going to be try and run the ball with Najee Harris. Like, try and limit Russ's mistakes, which he mostly did in Denver last year in a decently successful season. I think if they can win games that way, which they've proven they have, then I think Fields probably doesn't see the field. That being said, I'm rooting for him because I think he would make a better watch on the Steelers. Like, he would make them more exciting than Russ, but I don't know if that would translate to more wins.
Yeah, I think with a team like the Steelers, the moment you're behind below 500 at any point in the season, I think the alarm bells are sounding just because of Mike Tomlin's, like, you know, long-standing record. So I think the moment they go under 500, I think Justin Fields, outside of like the first 4 weeks.
So
like
if they start 1-3,
I think Justin Fields is starting week 5 for sure. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think this is the key point, are only paying Russ like $1 million out of their pocket.
Yeah.
Like, they have no like financial like sunk cost fallacy with Russell Wilson. So I genuinely think it's going to be best man up. And if they're starting 1-3, and especially if like the Ravens and the Bengals are picking it up, like, I think they're putting in Justin Fields.
Do you think they go back? If 1-3, Fields comes in, he doesn't look great, do they go back to Russ? Or do you think once Russ is out, he's out?
I don't know. I think they could go back to Russ. I will say, I think if the season is just over and they're eliminated, I think they're playing Fields to see, like, is this guy worth keeping around for next year or just re-scratching the whole team and starting over?
What do you guys think? Do you think Fields becomes a star? Because I really believed in him when he came out of school. I think we had a pod where I went on the record. I said that he would be the best QB in the draft class, like the draft class with Trevor Lawrence. And I think, I mean, probably not that far off because Trevor has also been pretty trash. But do you still believe in him to be like a above average starter in the league?
Here's my thought. Chicago is tough for quarterbacks. At least it historically has been. I don't know that I really think that, like, just because, like, it's a tough place for quarterbacks, that, like, if you're not great, you wouldn't do well. But there's that. Beyond just Chicago specifically, I like to give quarterbacks a second chance. I think that just sometimes getting into a new environment can make all the difference. So I'm willing to, like, look at him. But, like, if we see that this year he's average at best or below average, I'm out on Justin Fields. Like, I'm not giving him another 2 years, another three. You know, definitely not three. But, like, I'm not giving him another two seasons. It's, you know, this is it. This year is it. So if he's not good enough to beat out, Russell Wilson, or he's not good enough when he gets on the field, I'm out.
Speaking of quarterbacks getting a second chance this year, what do we think of Mac Jones's potential to unseat Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, he's not unseating.
Trevor Lawrence just made 50 million,
which is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Quarterback contracts are crazy. But, Roey, I want to go back to the question you just asked before we went off track into Innsbruck. We talked about the negative side of the rookie QBs. What about the positive? Who's going to be the best one of them all?
This is a question that I'm clearly less interested in answering because I love talking about the negative side of rookie QBs. But if I were to dig deep in the basket and, like, find one good positive trait about this quarterback class, I would say that I think that Caleb Williams and Drake May are the two guys who I think are best suited for success. Under another team, I would have said I think it's Penix, but I think by the time Penix is getting meaningful snaps, I really think he's going to be kind of like old news. Like, I see Michael Penix in 3 years, 2 years, once he gets his first meaningful start, being like a Tyrod Taylor kind of quarterback and just kind of like T-Mobile coverage all across the field. But that being said, like, nothing too special. So
he's got a bigger arm than Taylor, though. Like, he's got more tools.
He's got a bigger arm, more injury prone. By the time he starts, he's going to be like on the wrong side of 25. Like, yeah. I just like...
He's already close to the wrong side of 25.
Like, by the way, that's the Boston City skyline that we are seeing. lovely little skyline. But, yeah, I just think Drake May. I don't know. I got it.
The Delta plane.
I got it.
Max is not on.
That's correct.
Yeah, Max, you got to call Delta.
I do got to call Delta.
Drop a comment on our Instagram if Max should call Delta.
Yes, please do that.
Yeah. But yeah, I just think Drake May, like, I'm kind of high on Drake May. I think out of a lot of the quarterbacks, like Bo Nix, for example, the storyline there is like massive reach for the Broncos. Caleb Williams, the obvious storyline. Jaden Daniels, the number two. Like JJ McCarthy, champ, won the championship. Like, honestly, I think Drake May, out of all the QBs in the draft class, could enjoy the least spotlight out of any of them. And I just think he's going to benefit from that. Like, I think no one's really expecting him to win a lot of games this year. And I really think that even though the Pats, I don't think, will make the playoffs, like, I think he can enjoy from a very, like, constructive criticism type, not in the spotlight type rookie season, and that he could get better. And besides that, of all of the rookie quarterbacks, I think there is a chance that Drake May, outside of Michael Penix, in the first round rookie quarterbacks, I think Drake May could be the last to start. And yeah, I think that's a great thing for him. And he's the third pick. And I just really believe that Drake May, I don't know that he's going to be great, but I think he is in a really good position, despite the fact that he might not have the most talented roster.
I do not think he's in a good position.
But I also think that Caleb Williams is the most obvious pick to have, like, the most upside. So that's my positive takes on the rookie class.
Yeah, I mean, I would love nothing more than for Drake May to pop up. I just think that he doesn't have a lot of wide receiver talent. He's got Ramondre Stevenson as running back, who's solid. Nothing amazing, though, but, like, a solid running back. And more concerningly, his offensive line is really bad. I mean, just not good. And I just think lots of roster moves need to happen for the Patriots on offense before I can actually seriously consider Drake May as having a successful experience behind in our offense.
I think the ideal situation for Drake May is Patriots bad this year. Like, Jacoby Brissett starts like 14 games. End result is like 3-11. Drake May comes in last 3-4 games, shows some flashes, like, does the right things, almost like a Mahomes rookie season, like sitting behind Alex Smith and going in for the last game. Pats end up with a top 5 pick next draft and overall high draft capital, and then can address their biggest needs, whether that's wide receiver, if like Polk and Baker don't work out, whether that's O-line. And then
whether the people in wheelchairs stay in their seats.
Yeah. So I think that's ideal for May. So I tend to agree. During the draft process, I was very, very cool on May because he just seemed like another Zach Wilson type, like big arm, bad school, like didn't really do much. But listening to him talk and watching some more film, I'm a fan. Also, sleeper pick. You're going to clown me for this take. I kind of believe in Bo Nix. I think that he'll be a lot better than anticipated. I don't think he's a Mahomes-type talent, like what Sean Payton said. He's probably not even a first-round talent, but I think that Sean Payton, this is like the type of quarterback that he likes. This is the type of quarterback that he had in Drew Brees for a very long time. And Bo Nix, probably the best thing you could say about him is he's probably the most NFL-ready of all these guys because he's been in college for 17 years. So I think he'll be at least surpassing expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Bo Nix is just going to have a hard time with, like, expectations. I mean, I think that Sean Payton's really pushing him hard. I think Sean Payton knows he needs to do well, and there's just going to be a lot of pressure on Bo Nix. But just to quickly circle back to, like, Drake May, I think that your scenario of, like, the 14 weeks and all that is a beautiful scenario, and I would love to see that happen. I just hope that the Patriots are going to be able to withstand the pressure from their fans if, you know, they're 3-8 or they're 2-10 and there's calls for Drake May to come in. Or even at the beginning of the season, if they're, like, 0-4 to start the season.
Yeah, fair.
And I just don't – I'll be honest. I don't particularly believe in some of the coaching hires made at the Patriots for, to, in that, in their ability to have a thick enough skin to withstand that type of pressure.
Yeah.
Or calls for Drake May to come in, I should say.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyone else have one more topic that they'd like to throw out there before we get out of here?
Anybody want to discuss the Pro Bowl?
No.
Okay.
I'll throw in my topic. I'll throw my hand in the ring. This is a topic that I've been throwing around for the last couple of days. I've been asking my co-hosts over here about who their sneaky team of the season is. And I've made my take, which Roey has shot down instantly. But I believe that a sneaky team for this year is the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, please.
And don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not predicting them to make the playoffs. I'll probably still predict them to finish last in their division. But my definition of sneaky is a team that everyone thinks will be god-awful that's better than that. So I think that the Titans are being predicted as one of the worst teams in the league. I think over-under of wins is probably 5.5. And I think that we're going to at least find out who Will Levis is. Will Levis, he could be trash, which will make this take trash. But if he's good, and he's shown flashes of being good, if he's good in actuality, then he will be good this year, which will make the Titans better than expected. Like, he's got weapons now. They signed Calvin Ridley, which, say what you want, he's a good receiver in the NFL, albeit streaky. They've still got an aging D-Hop. They got Tony Pollard now, which I don't really believe in, but they signed him for money, so who knows? He could be good if he was injured last year. And retooled the defense a bit. They got L'Jarius Sneed, who I said to Roey.
Great player.
Yeah, best corner in the NFL, in my opinion. So I think that the Titans, they could have a few serious upsets, because I think if C.J. Stroud takes a step back from his rookie year, which I don't think many people are predicting him to do, which he could, if the Jaguars continue being bad because they lost Calvin Ridley and Trevor Lawrence, if he continues not living up to the hype, and who knows what we're getting with the Colts. If Anthony Richardson is good or not, it's probably just about as big of a question mark as is Will Levis good or not. And Will Levis probably showed even more flashes. So, I don't know. I think that decision could be a toss. That division could be a toss-up. And once again, not predicting it, but I think it's a little bit less far-fetched than it might appear.
What about you, Roy? Who's your sleeper team?
My sleeper team is this. And I'm going to say a sleeper team for this year and a sleeper team for the future. My sleeper team for the future, and I saw a great segment about this team on Channel 5 News the other day, is the New England Patriots. Like, I really think that Drake May is going to have a high potential season. I don't think it's going to show in the record, but I just want to put it out there. But in all, you know, respect this season, I think my sleeper team is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Whoa.
I think that everyone is saying that the NFC South is automatically going to be the Falcons division. But I honestly think that it's going to come. And I think that is probably true, that the Atlanta Falcons will take the division. But what I will say is I honestly think it's going to come down to the last couple weeks. And I think that the Falcons are going to have great games against out-of-division opponents. But I think within the division, they still might have a little bit of a hard time beating the Bucs. And I really think the Bucs are going to push them to make it come down to the last few weeks.
Honestly, I think that's pretty fair, especially as a sneaky team. Because when you said it, I was like, whoa. But then I thought about it, and like, they were good last year. And really, the only thing they lost is their OC, which granted was probably very important to Baker and Mike Evans' success. But yeah, everyone, and I mean everyone's predicting them to take a step back, like probably around 7 wins at expectation. But I think fully a world exists where Baker continues his career renaissance, Mike Evans stays ageless, and they could be good. So I kind of like that pick.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Colts. I don't know that the Colts are expected to be trash, as Max put it, like a team that's expected to really be trash. But I just think that the Colts, I like Anthony Richardson. I like what I saw last year. I don't know that they're going to, you know, win like a ton of playoff games per se, but I think they'll be a genuine force. I mean, just look at what they did with the team they had after Anthony Richardson went down last year. So I really believe in the Colts as long as Anthony Richardson can stay healthy, which admittedly is an if statement. I think they could be
nice
really good.
Nice programming humor, dude.
Yeah.
Thanks. I mean, I am a...
Drop a comment on Instagram if you know what an if statement is.
So, with that, if you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know via Instagram. Else, we hope you'll give us another shot and listen again soon.
We're planning on releasing weekly episodes. We'll see how that plan goes, but that is the current plan.
So depending on how you feel about the pod, that's either really great news or really bad news.
Roey, what's your closing take? All right, I guess we're out of here.
Hey, season 2 of Squid Game's coming out in 2024.
Let's go.
Take care, y'all.